is not, this is for me a strange sermon. And we'll just have to see where the Lord goes, but I believe it's an important one. And I need to preface it by saying, this message is for people who are genuinely seeking the Lord. If you are genuinely seeking the Lord today, I hope that this message will give you insight and will work in your life. If you are not, if you know that you are far away from Christ, do not pause for a minute. If you know that there are things in your life, you know, the word David in his letter kept saying was fully, fully, fully. There's, you know, with God, it doesn't say trust in the Lord with some of your heart. It doesn't say obey Him in a few things. In fact, what destroyed Saul? God said, go slay the Amalekites. How many Amalekites were there? 100,000? More? Hundreds of thousands? And Saul slayed all of them except for one. Now that means that he obeyed 99.9999, probably 9%. And what did God say? Time is flying by. And there's none of us that knows that we have another week. I was talking with somebody this week, and they were talking about how few people. I was talking with Patrick, and he was saying, you know, he sees a lot of people die as an EMT. And he says, I've never seen one deathbed confession. I've never seen one person in an ambulance concerned about spiritual things. I've never seen one person in an ambulance praying about anything other than getting better. Isaiah 1:1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, I want us to do today to look at the life of Isaiah because I believe that we are being called to be Isaiah. If you are a person who is faithfully seeking God today, then you are called to be an Isaiah. We know an awful lot about Isaiah. Isaiah is called the Prince of Prophets. He is probably the most powerful, the most artistic, and the most wide-ranging of all the Old Testament prophets. He saw probably the most clearly of anyone in all the Old Testament of the glory that would be revealed in Jesus Christ, both in His first coming and in His second. But I want us to look at the times in which Isaiah lived and the ministry that he had, because the Bible says that we are to learn from those who have gone before us. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says that all of these things are written down for our sakes. This isn't just dry, dull, boring history. I remember before I was saved, the Bible was a dusty book. But after I was saved, it's wondrous. This is not boring, and I know some people, oh, history. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. Because we repeat the same stupidity and believe the same lies that people have believed for thousands of years, and Satan doesn't even have to come up with new ones. The book of Isaiah lists four kings under which Isaiah had a ministry. But there were actually five kings under which he lived. And we'll look at that toward the end of the message. Let's look at these four kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. I hope you'll stay with me. This is much more teaching than it will be preaching, at least unless the Lord does something different. But I want us to look at their ministries and what that says about us, because I believe there is an exact parallel to the days in which we live. We are Isaiah. I don't know when we're Isaiah, but we are Isaiah. Let's look first at Uzziah. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 15. And I'm going to ask you, take your bulletin, and when you get to 2 Kings chapter 15, put your bulletin in there, because we're going to be going back and forth between Kings and Chronicles. And you're going to want to find those verses. Here's the description that God gives of Uzziah. Now, his name is called in Kings. He went by two names on the throne. His name in the book of Chronicles is Uzziah. His name in the book of Kings is Azariah. But here's what it says. 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. The high places, however, were not removed. The people continued to offer sacrifice and burn incense there. Here's the history of Uzziah. Uzziah was a halfway king. Yeah. He did what was right, but he didn't go wholeheartedly about it. I believe that that is a description of the America I grew up in. Oh yeah, America still had the veneer of Christianity, but the high places were not removed. And the people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense to other gods. That was the days in which Isaiah began his ministry. And he had a decent ministry. But you know, it is hard to have a ministry to halfway people, because their hearts are, they content themselves with, I'm serving the Lord. You see what it says? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. I'm doing okay. Put your bulletin in there and turn with me to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. Verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. This is what it says about Uzziah, or Azariah. 2 Chronicles 26:5. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. As long as he had godly leadership, he was faithful. But when Zedekiah was gone, so was his faithfulness. And you know, there has been a tendency in this land. I've seen it in my mother's church. When there's when there's godly leadership, but how easily people accept ungodly leadership. Look at 2 Chronicles 26:16. I believe this very much applies to us who are sitting here today, to the land in which we have lived. 2 Chronicles 26:16, it says, "But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God." And it goes on about how he went into the temple. And I believe that we have lived in a people who are just like Uzziah, that as we have become powerful, we have become unfaithful to God. And that we are living in days when God is punishing us, as he punished Uzziah for his pride and arrogance. Isn't it interesting that it says of Isaiah, it took the death of Uzziah for Isaiah to really confront the holiness of who God was. And in Isaiah 6:1 it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." Now, Isaiah, the Bible says Isaiah was prophesying during Uzziah's reign, wasn't he? He was already a prophet. There are people out there that say, well, the book of Isaiah isn't chronological. Chapter 6 is the beginning of his prophecies, and it starts in 6, and 1 to 5 is after chapter 6. Hogwash. The Bible says he prophesied during Uzziah's reign. And here's the thing, it takes something dramatic in a land of halfwayness to get our attention for God. It's so easy to say, well, things aren't that bad. Look, we're serving the Lord. Look, we're okay. Yeah, I'm not witnessing life. I don't go to prayer. You know, but hey, you know, I watch Bible trivia on TV and learn 3 new facts about Jesus this week. And it so often takes something dramatic to galvanize our attention, and suddenly we're confronted with the Holy One of Israel. For Isaiah was looking into that coffin and seeing his cousin, because he was part of the royal bloodline, his cousin Uzziah, the king that he had known, that he had counseled, that he had been a prophet to, laying in that box, a leper. Before suddenly he turned his gaze on God. And today, my first point would be, number one, in a time of halfwayness, do whatever it takes to bring yourself into confrontation with the Lord God. Don't settle for "I'm doing okay." Don't settle for "I'm serving the Lord." Isaiah could have said, you know, I don't really need to see you, God. Look, I've already wrote such wonderful scriptures as, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Scriptures that are quoted 3,000 years later. No, he wasn't satisfied with his halfwayness. He was confronted with the Holy One of God. The second thing. Jotham. Notice what the Bible says about Jotham. Look at 2 Kings chapter 15. 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 32 to the end of the chapter. 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 32 to the end of the chapter. Second Kings 15:32. "In the second year of Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judea, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zodak. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And then there's this caveat, just as his father Uzziah had done. He went just as far as his father. Thank God that he didn't go backwards from his father, but he didn't go further than his father. He did only as far as his father. Because the next verse says, verse 35, the high places, however, were not removed. And the people continued to offer sacrifices and burn incense there. You know, there is something utterly stagnating about halfwayness. Usually, when we are corrupted away from God, it doesn't last for very long because either there's repentance, genuine repentance, or there's destruction. We're on that road today. But you know, halfwayness, when there's revival, that often doesn't last for very long. Maybe one generation, because the next generation takes it for granted, won't seek God, thinks that they have an entitlement to God, thinks that their parents' prayers, their parents' witnessing, their parents living for Christ will do for them just fine, and they just slough off and drift along and go downhill quick. Revival doesn't last, apostasy doesn't last, but halfwayness. And you know, if you look back at the nation of America, we have lived in a halfway land for at least a century, from the late 1800s through the late 1900s. Yeah, we're a Christian nation. There was no fire for God in our stomachs. Jotham continued this halfway. I'm living for Jesus. I'm okay. I go to church. Testimony of his godliness is his son. Because his son was Ahaz. Ahaz was an evil king. Look with me at 2 Chronicles 28. 2 Chronicles 28. 2 Chronicles 28. He began evil. Whatever he got from his father, Jotham, whatever he knew of his grandfather, Uzziah, their faith did not impact him. And you know, a halfway faith will never impress young people. I'm doing okay. Look at 2 Chronicles 28, verses 2 to 4. 2 Chronicles 28, 2. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. What a condemnation. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and also made cast idols. Not just did he worship idols, he made them. For the worshiping of Baals. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom and sacrificed his sons in the fire. He burned his own infant children alive as a sacrifice to Baal and Moab. Following the detestable ways of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. He was a man of great wickedness. Now I want you to think about this. Here's Isaiah. He's been drifting along under Uzziah. When Uzziah dies, he has this tremendous encounter with God. And for the next 16 years, he tries to shepherd a half-hearted king named Jotham. Maybe he's thinking, God, maybe the next king will get it. And instead of the next king getting it, the next king becomes an abomination. And Isaiah was faithful through the disintegration of the nation around him. I want to show how evil this man was. He was evil when God was gracious to him. And you know, we've been evil to God in this nation since God, even when God has been so gracious to us. Look at what it says about this man. Look what it says in verse 6. 2 Chronicles 28:6. We'll start at 5. Therefore the Lord his God handed him over to the king of Aram. You see, God will judge his people. This lie that's out there that God will never judge me, I'm a Christian, is lunacy. God will judge his people, and he expects far more from his people than he does from the unsaved, because the Bible says to whom much is given, much will be expected. The Arameans defeated him and took many of his people as prisoners and brought them to Damascus. I want you to notice something about sin. Sin doesn't just affect me, it affects everyone around me. I can say, it's okay, I'm not hurting anybody, I'm just sinning myself. How does it matter that I'm worshiping idols? The other people can worship whoever they want. But his sin affected those around him, and so does ours. If you are the head of a house and you are living in sin, it affects your house. If you are an employee at work and you are sinning, it affects the people at work. If you are a person in any organization and you are living in sin, it impacts everyone around you. He was also given into the hands of the king of Israel, who inflicted heavy casualties on him. In one day, Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 soldiers in Judah, because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. You see, his sin corrupted all the people as well. As the king went, so did the people. Zichri, an Ephraimite warrior, killed Massi, the king's son. Azarakim, the officer in charge of the palace, and Elkan, second to the king. The Israelites took captive from their kinsmen 200,000 wives, sons, and daughters. Can you imagine the devastation? Can you imagine, ladies? Here you and your children are stripped naked, bound in chains, and marched off to be sold as slaves. That happened in one day. They also took a great deal of plunder, which they carried back to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord named Oded was there. The army, now these people have just killed 100,000 people, but one prophet stood where 100,000 warriors couldn't. You don't think that you can make a difference if you wholeheartedly give yourself to the Lord. You're being deceived. Somebody says, oh, this church is so small. Our problem is not that this church is small. Our problem is we need to be wholehearted. We have 5 times more people than we need here if we just were wholehearted in seeking the Lord. But a prophet of the Lord named Oded was there, and he went out to meet the army when it returned to Samaria. He said to them, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. But you have slaughtered them in a rage that reaches to heaven. But now you intend to make the men and women of Judah and Jerusalem your slaves? But aren't you also guilty of sins against the Lord your God? Who do you think you are? Now listen to me. Send back your fellow countrymen you have taken as prisoners, for the Lord's fierce anger rests on you. And some of the leaders in Ephraim, Azariah, son of Jehonatan, and Berechah, and all these other guys, confronted those who were arriving from the war. "You must not bring those prisoners here," they said, "or we will be guilty before the Lord. Do you intend to add to our guilt and sin? For our guilt is already great, and his fierce anger rests on Israel." So the soldiers gave up the prisoners and the plunder in the presence of the officials and the assemblies. And the men designated by name took the prisoners. From the plunder they clothed all who were naked. They provided them with clothes and sandals, food and drink, and healing balm. And all those who were weak they put on donkeys. So they took them back to their fellow countrymen at Jericho, the city of palms, and returned to Samaria. Oh, how gracious God was. He rescued, with one prophet, he rescued all the prisoners. He sent them home. Do you think that Ahaz said, "Oh, praise God, God is so good"? No. Not at all. Not at all. Look at verse 22. "In his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful." Discipline didn't touch him. Kindness didn't touch him. No matter what God did, he and the people had hardened their hearts. And I believe that America, the America we face today, is an America just like the America of Jotham's day, of Ahaz's day. God's kindness hasn't touched our heart. God's judgment hasn't touched our heart. World Trade Center goes down, oh, we'll build another one. Who do you think you are, God? We'll make this one so it'll never fall down. We're as bad as the people that built the new Titanic and said, this one will never sink. A Katrina smashes New Orleans. Oh, we've got to get it up. Not so that they can, in time for Mardi Gras. Look at verse 24. Ahaz was so fully against God that it says, verse 24, Ahaz gathered together the furnishings from the temple of the Lord and took them away. How many people are there today that are stealing from God? Jotham did. Ahaz did. Not Jotham, Ahaz did. He took them away. He shut the doors to the Lord's temple and set up altars in every street corner in Jerusalem. In every town in Judea, he built high places to burn sacrifice to other gods and provoke the Lord, the God of his fathers. Oh, what a life. What a life. What a horrible, horrible life. And do not be deceived. Ahaz is still with us. He's still alive somewhere. And now he knows how horrible his life was. How do you think Hezekiah felt growing up in this? How do you think Isaiah felt? After serving under Uzziah, at least where there was the veneer of godliness left, under Jotham, where there was at least lip service done, to suddenly be dropped into the spiritual abyss of destruction during the days of Ahaz. You know what? Isaiah was faithful through it all. We don't know how this happened. Perhaps it was because of the friendship that we find between them that Isaiah found some way to meet with Hezekiah and to begin to disciple Hezekiah. Perhaps that's where Hezekiah learned to fear the Lord. But we do know whatever had happened in his life, somehow in the midst of all this ruin and destruction and perversion and wickedness, Hezekiah came to the throne. And notice what it says of him. 2 Chronicles 29, verses 1 to 3. 2 Chronicles 29, verses 1 to 3. It says, Hezekiah was 25 years old. Hezekiah lived under that godless, wicked horribleness for 25 years. You know, there's some of us that are getting tired of being faithful to the Lord, and it's only been a few years. I hear people say, you know, we tried praying, and he lived with it for 25 years. He knew nothing else but that. And he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. In the first month of the first year of his reign, he opened the doors to the temple of the Lord and repaired them. From the moment he took power, he said, we're charting a new course. Notice what the Bible says of him. Look at 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 3 to 5. Notice what it says of him. 2 Kings chapter 18. He did what was right, 2 Kings 18:3, in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places. He wasn't a man, a halfway man. Oh God, will not God raise up a non-halfway man in this place? Will you be a not halfway man? Will you be a not halfway man? Summer, will you be a not halfway girl? Paige, will you be a not halfway girl? Christopher. I know. Christopher means Christian in Spanish. This nation was found by a man that bears your name, just a different language. Will you be a non-halfway man for Jesus Christ? Jimmy? Where among us today is the young man that will grow up and say, I'm not going to be a halfway man? He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stone, and cut down the Asherah pole. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. For up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. He said, enough! You young people don't even know the America I grew up in. When America was at least a halfway nation, when America had kings like Jotham or Uzziah. You don't even know that. You have lived in America that is a cesspool. And either you're going to swim in that cesspool until it fills your heart and mind, or you are going to be a Hezekiah and say, enough. Look at what verse 5 says. Look at what verse 5 says. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. What a testimony to have. As a young man, that was the testimony that he had. What's your testimony going to be? What's your testimony going to be? Will it be said of you, he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, and there was no one like him? Imagine the thrill in Isaiah's heart after all those years and years and years and years of Ahaz, that wicked king. All those days that went by. Of dealing with Ahaz. My daddy's gone. And he's replaced by a godly man. Oh, we know the miracles God did. You remember the story? It's in 2 Chronicles 32. I don't have time to read it today, but oh, you should read it. What a, you know, Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, the general of Assyria comes down and besieges Jerusalem, and they send a letter. You idiots up there! No gods ever withstood us! Who do you think you are? And they wrote a letter and they sent it into Hezekiah. And Hezekiah took the scroll and he walks into the temple and he throws it down and says, God, what are you going to do about it? And Isaiah walks through the door and says, let me give you God's answer. There is no greater wonder than living in a sold-out relationship to Jesus Christ. There is nothing that compares to it. It's not an easy one. It's not always a comfortable one. Oh, there's nothing that compares to it. And after 16 years, under Ahab. Oh, the joy he must have felt in those years of Hezekiah. See, Isaiah's life doesn't end under Hezekiah. Perhaps he wished it did. Perhaps Isaiah would have been very happy to, right after that encounter with Sennacherib, when God destroyed the entire Assyrian army, they were dead in the camp. The very next day, plague broke out, swept through them. Hundreds of thousands died, and the rest fled for the hills. He had to watch the end of Hezekiah's life when Hezekiah began to lose that sparkle of light. That abandon for God. When, as Jesus said, the cares of this life and the desires for other things began to crowd out God's word in his heart. And during those days, Manasseh was born. Look at the description of Manasseh. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Now remember, the Bible says his ministry was under Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. It doesn't mention Manasseh because Manasseh received no ministry. God had no word for Manasseh. And here's why. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. And let this just be an indication. He is the longest reigning of all the kings of Judah. Just because a person's evil doesn't mean that their life is short. He had the longest reign of any king of Israel. And he probably can see, if God was against me, how can I? Oh, God was against him. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord. Not out under the stars, not in God's temple. He built altars to Baal, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his sons in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. He practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and he consulted with mediums and spiritualists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. He took the carved image he had made and he put it in God's temple. Verse 9. But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Israel, and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. What a way to end his ministry. After the years of half-heartedness, after the terrible years of Ahaz, after the wondrous years of Hezekiah, to end his life in the midst of such destruction. It's not in the Bible, except in the verse I'm going to show you in just a second. But there's a Jewish legend that Manasseh, one of the first things he did during his reign, when he was fully in power, was he brought in Isaiah and he martyred him publicly. I believe it's true because the book of Hebrews references it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 37 says these little words, and if you didn't know Jewish history, you wouldn't know what it's talking about, but I believe that it's referring to this Jewish tradition because it says, some of them were stoned and some of them were sawed in two. The Jewish legend says that Manasseh brought in Isaiah and put a saw on his belly while he was still alive, and while he was living, cut him in half. That didn't diminish Isaiah at all. Now, here's the truth. And nobody can tell you any differently. The people that are out there saying something different, they just don't understand. Here's the truth. We are in backslidden days. We are in the life of Isaiah. We have had the reigns of Uzziah and Jotham in this land. We have had the time of half-hearted Christianity, where lip service was given to God, where people went to church, where there was a veneer of... But out in the groves, the other idols were being worshipped. We are now no longer in the half-hearted days. We are on the express elevator down. And the land that you young people here will live in when you're my age will look entirely different than it does today in one direction or the other. Do not deceive yourselves that we can keep going the way we're going. Maybe, I'll have the blessing of being out of here before it all hits. No guarantee on that. What no one knows, is whether this is the reign of Ahaz or Manasseh. No one knows the answer to that. Is this the reign of Manasseh and the end is coming for us? Or is this the reign of Ahaz? And there's a Hezekiah waiting in the wings, being prepared by God to turn things around. Nobody knows. We don't know. We don't know that the king that now reigns might not be removed tomorrow. And a Hezekiah raised up to replace him. We don't know. Here's why Isaiah was chosen by God. Because through it all, through the Uzziahs and the Jothams, through the Ahabs and the Hezekiah, and even in the days of Manasseh, he remained faithful. He remained faithful. He suffered the ins and the outs. He was acclaimed as being the man of God by men like Jotham, and even more so by Hezekiah, and he was publicly executed by the Manasseh. But he didn't change his message. He wasn't corrupted by the world around him. He didn't sell out or give in. He didn't change his gospel to win approval. You think Isaiah thinks he made the wrong choice about that? Who would you rather be today, Ahaz or Isaiah? I was looking at these verses in the book of Isaiah this week, and they've just been pounding in my heart. I guess I'm at that point in my life where when I study the Word, it just bangs around in there for a long time. Bounces off of other ones. And Isaiah 57, here's what Isaiah 57 says. He didn't get to live these things in the days before Manasseh. He didn't get it. He didn't get what others did. He had to face that horrible reign of Manasseh and prove his faithfulness to the last breath. But here's what it says. Isaiah 57, verse 1. The righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. We've lived in a day in which the message is the righteous don't perish. God will heal you sometimes. You believe in healing? You should. God heals people. Does God only heal the righteous? Not at all. God sometimes heals the unrighteous, doesn't he? That's how gracious God is. That's how good God is.
Devout men are taken away and no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil.
You know, we've fallen too much into the emotional trap of Hollywood that the happy ending is everybody lives. And they all live happily ever after. Never works. For the righteous is, they died. That's the happily ever after. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. Oh, but then he talks to the majority of the people of Manasseh's day. But you, come here, you sons of a sorceress. You offspring of adulterers and prostitutes, whom are you mocking? At whom do you sneer and stick out your tongue? Are you not a brood of rebels and offspring of liars? You burn with lust among the oaks and under every spreading tree and sacrifice your children in the ravines and under the overhanging crags. The idols among the smooth stones of the ravine are your portion. Yeah, they are your lot. Yes, to them you pour out drink offerings and offer grain offerings. In the light of these things, should I relent And God goes on and talks about, no, my day of wrath is coming for you. I hope that you will ponder this. I don't believe this is a message that you just get through with and say, oh, praise God, yeah, I got the point. There is a point, but I don't think it comes very easily. I think it only comes if you ponder it. The Bible says of Mary, she pondered things in her heart. I want you to ponder the life of Isaiah. I want you to ponder the parallel for today. Are we in the reign of Ahaz? I hope so. Oh, I would love to see all the joy of seeing a Hezekiah raised up. And it's not impossible. If you'd have asked people in the days of Ahaz, you think there'll ever be another godly king, they'd have shaken their head and said everything's lost. And a Hezekiah was just waiting in the wind. It may be the days of Manasseh. It may be the days when before those of us who are sitting here end our earthly lives, we do so in chains. We may be hauled in as Isaiah was hauled in and cut in half. You say, not in America. They'd never do that. Don't you? 30 years ago when I said stuff like that, people laughed and said, oh, that's stupid. People aren't laughing today, are they? We've seen how far this nation can travel in a couple short years. I don't know. Maybe we're in the days of Manasseh. If so, there is a testimony to be held for the future of what godly people do even when evil Manasseh's rule. Maybe were the days of Hezekiah. Maybe he's a boy growing up somewhere right now. Maybe he's sitting in this room right now and God will use an Oded. Remember little Oded that went out there all by himself? He just killed 100,000. They just killed 120,000 warriors and he walks out there all by himself and says, yo, who do you think you are? God gave you victory and now you're dishonoring him like this? You think your sin's any less than that? Why didn't they just strike him down where he stood? What was it that when Oded walks out there, they go, oh! And let them all go and send them home. Gave them the plunder. Here, let me put some food. Here, take some food. Oh, donkeys. Bring them donkeys. They need help getting back. A man of God's around, nothing's impossible. Maybe there's no dead sitting here today. Maybe there's a Hezekiah. What are you doing to make a difference in these days? What are you doing to prepare for Hezekiah? Or if not, to prepare yourself to go out with a great testimony in the days of Manasseh. Let's bow together. Lord, I've been struggling with this message now for I don't know how long. It's been banging around. And Lord, I am just so overcome by the life of Isaiah that the years of faithfulness, the ups and the downs, the faithfulness in the half-hearted days, the faithfulness in the evil days, the faithfulness in the great days, and the faithfulness at the end of days. Oh God, I pray to be an Isaiah. Whether these are the days of Ahaz or the days of Manasseh, I don't know. Lord, whichever they are, I pray that you would raise up Odeds and Hezekiahs right in this place, people who will trust you fully
In Jesus' name.